Welcome to another inspiring message from the Cornerstone Church Enugu.
Why decided to actually pray? I just sense that load of sickness, right? Sense that, I don't know what to call it, but kind of a rock now, or just something rolled out and a sickness, something. Amen. It will stay out in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. The Bible says in Psalm 107, I think please put that up for me. Psalm 107 verse 20. Psalm 107 verse 20. The Bible says he sent his word. He sent his word. He sent his word. He sent his word. And that word healed them. He sent forth his word, and that word healed them. He rescued them from the grave. NKJV says, delivered them from their destructions. It doesn't matter what it is. The entrance of God's word gives light. That light chases away sickness. I'm saying to you that God gave us doctors as a gift. Amen. He gave us health personnel as a gift. Amen. Brother Emizos, amen. Good. So, we are all chasing the same demons. Hallelujah. But I'm saying that you that is in Christ have an advantage. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You that is in Christ, you have an advantage. What is that advantage? You have Zoe. You have the very life of Christ on your inside. You are the residential address of the Holy Ghost. So that means that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Bible says it shall quicken your mortal body. So there is vitality for you. In Christ, there is the quickening of your body. It doesn't matter what it is. Praise God. So the Lord will have me let you know that you have an advantage. You have an advantage. Drugs, they are good. The Lord, it's God's mercy. But I'm saying you have an advantage. Brethren, we have an advantage. I used to say, I like it when they go to the hospital and there's nothing. And there's nothing. So then at least we can relate. Because if there's something, you'll be saying, there's still, let's keep going. But when there's nothing, where will you go? Back to where you should have started. Are you with me? You now go back to where you should have started. And you will stay there. Why? If the doctors can't help you, you will hold the person, the only person you truly know can help you. So I'm saying, so why don't we start there? Continue there. Even if we need to get to see the doctors, but we know where we've started and we're continuing with him on our way while we are there. Hallelujah. Let it be our attitude to any foul thing that comes to our body. Oga, you are missing road. You know how Elisha said to the Assyrians, he says, this place not be road. This place not be the town. Come, let me show you the person, the people you are looking for. It's the same thing you tell that. You see this place where you know be road. You know be destination. I shall take you to where, and that place is where? Bottomless pit, where even me, I don't know. Just keep going. But this place, you shall not stay. This, my body, you can't stay. But I'm saying to you, you start from the known, and the Lord opens your eyes to the unknown. So when there is something you are dealing with in your body, what are the scriptures that speak on healing? You can, that's a good place to start. Me, I like to start in Isaiah 53. I shared here recently in the midweek service how that something had happened in my house over my child. And I just, as I held her, I just went to my Isaiah because it speaks to me. Isaiah 53, immediately I opened the very first verse. I don't know why it was that translation, but the translation just spoke the very line there. I just knew that, I knew that I was all right. I knew that she was going to be fine. I started reading it. I read it through. I started praying with it. As I was praying with it, the Lord now said to me, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Ordinarily, when I'm praying for health, it may not be your go-to. But I'm saying, he sent his word. And that word healed. God's word is medicine. It will heal your bones. Bible says this word, it is sharp. It is active. It can pierce through that thing between the marrow and the bone. It can get into it. It can discern your heart. It can discern your thoughts. It can discern things. Even the place medicine can get into. So what is now our role? Stay with God until you receive the word. Are you hearing me? There are times where you have said all you know to say. You have confessed all you know to confess and it's still there. No, as you are confessing, you are listening for the daily bread. Do you hear what I said? As you are confessing what the Bible says, you are listening for the voice of God. Maybe you're not sleeping well at night. Every other minute you're waking up to sleep. The very voice of God can be, don't eat beyond 6 p.m. Instructions. Are you hearing me? It can be, don't take sugary drinks at night. God can give you those kind of instructions. But you can only hear them when you understand, oh, this thing is not supposed to be here, first of all. So we're now looking for answers. So you start from what the Bible has said. Keep saying it. Keep listening for, Lord, what am I to do about this? Everything I'm saying is to say, we are not allowed to be sick. Say amen. We are not allowed to be sick. So if you have the mindset that sometimes we get sick, that's the problem. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, that's the problem. You know, sometimes we fall sick where we all know the Bible says this one is perishing. But it also says we have a quickener. We have that thing that is giving us vitality. We have the very life of Christ inside this very body. So that it's perishing means that once in a while it can come. But you don't let it stay. Why? Whatever my Father has not planted must be uprooted. It can't stay there. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. When you read Proverbs chapter 4, from verse 20, maybe let me start from verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. I hope you know this is not my message. I hope you know that. So after, when I start counting my time. Okay, don't worry, I won't keep it too long. My son, give attention to my words. Tell your neighbor, give attention to his words. Come on now, shake that neighbor. Say, neighbor, give attention to the word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Say it to your neighbor. Incline your ear to his sayings. You know what is attention? Let me start from there. Attention is you are in a cab is carrying you, a cab driver is carrying you. You have your earpiece on. Suddenly you are in a part you didn't even know how you turned into. What do you do first? You remove the earpiece. Your earpiece. Why do you have to remove it? You want to give attention to what's going on here. I mean, where are we? Not be so you probably get me for. When you're just even maybe it's a bike and you have earpiece on, and suddenly you open your eye, you know, you just lift your eyes up. Where are we? It's to give attention to what is going on around you. So that's attention. You're paying attention. So where are we? Why are we here? That's it. So why is the Bible saying this to me? What is it talking about? How does it affect you? You are paying attention. What does it mean to incline your ears? You know that time your two friends were gisting. So somehow your mind, you feel like they're talking about you. When they put your ear in the door hole, in the keyhole. You've not done it before. You are spiritual, too spiritual. You've not done it. You went to put your ears. You are doing what? inclining your ears.
That's what you are doing.
So the Lord is saying, that's the same thing I want you to do with my word. So put your ear very well to hear. Ah, even if the Lord is doing, I'm hearing you, Lord. Praise the Lord. He's just saying, in essence, let your whole being come together to get into it. Because that time you are trying to hear everything, you know, you're not distracted. In fact, you'll be there. They'll open the door and you fall inside. Not be so, because you are oblivious of every other sound. Everything you want to hear is what is being said. So even when they are walking to the door, you didn't hear it. They'll now open the door and catch you there. Praise God. So when you are inclining your ear, no distraction. Somebody says something to you. I'm talking. Oh, sorry. What did you say? Do you understand? Incline your ear to my sayings. He says, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So it's not just, it's not enough that pastor has preached. It is that I go home and I fix my eyes on what the word says. I open my Bible, I keep my eyes, I'm seeing it. He says, keep them, do not let them depart from your eyes. You keep them there. Why? That is how you get them in the midst of your heart. As you are looking at it, you begin to say it. As you are saying it, you are writing it in your heart. Amen. So that's how you keep them in the midst of your heart. Verse 22 is where I'm going. He says, for they are lives. So it's not that. No, don't get me wrong. The whole Bible is life. Amen. But it says, they are life to those who find them. So in essence, it is the word you find that is life or that gives life to you. Do you understand? It is the words that you find. So, pastor can come and preach, a brother can come and preach, and everybody is standing on their feet. And we go home, wow, word, word. It is the one you find in that service that will give you life. Amen? Are you with me? So sometimes it's not just in quoting scriptures and going to gallivant and do other things that will dilute the scripture. In fact, they ask you, I can't remember what you quoted in the house. No, you stay on it until it enters your heart. That's finding something. So that when you're, what's going on? You say, I am the father of all nations. Remember my story? Even if somebody just pats you, that's what comes out. You find it. You find it. They are life to those who find them. And health to all their flesh. I'm telling you, the word of God is all the medicine you need. I read medical lab sciences, so don't think I'm not, like I said, we are all fighting the same demons. We're chasing the same thing. Amen? But like I said in the beginning, you have what? You have an advantage. Praise God. You have an advantage. You have an advantage. You have an advantage. You have the word. This word is life. It's life. It's life. I said this word is life. It's alive. This word is alive. It's not just letters. They are living. They can get into you. They can get into you. And just take care of a heart. A heart that says, it's inflamed. How to normalize. The word can get into any part of your body. It can chase out anything. It doesn't matter where it is. And the beautiful thing is that the Lord packaged the word and gave to you. So your own job is keep reading until you find. Did you hear what I said? Keep searching through it until you find. Somebody gives you a book and tells you that there's a check in between. Maybe you keep flipping. You flip to the end. You continue from the beginning. You keep flipping. Jesus. Check $1 million. Hey, Jesus. You will not sleep all night. You are checking it. Not so. Because you know what $1 million will do for you. I'm just imagining the land where I've done by since. We know what. Do you understand? You will painstakingly be searching. You are sure it's in this book. You'll be searching for it. They told you that this place now there's gold. You will be digging till you find it. come that the word that we now have that is everything?
The devil finds a way to tell you that.
Just be listening to clips. Listen to clips. By the time you listen to 20, you don't even know who said what. Praise the Lord. Find it. Tell your neighbor, find it. It will give you life. It will give you life. You are confused. Find it. Find it. There's secrets. This is book of secrets. But the good news is that it's open secrets. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to find it. It's your honor to find it. It's the honor of kings to find it. And the Lord says you are kings. And that's what we'll be dealing with next month by the mercies of God. Kings and priests. Praise the Lord. Find it. Tell somebody, find it. Tell another neighbor, find it. Find the word. Find the word. Tell him they are lives. They are life to you. They will give you health. They will bring health to your flesh. In the name of Jesus. And just in case you are sick right here, then lay your hand on your body or any part of your body that is feeling sick. I'm saying you will get healed now. 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 In the name of Jesus. Buddy, hear the word of the Lord. Be healed. You foul spirit of infirmity, I cast you out of that body. Be gone now. Buddy, stay healed. Jesus was beaten, and by that same stripes, you are healed. In the name of Jesus. The life of Christ, the overflowing life of Christ is at work in you. Every one of our members who are not here, by the reason of the fact I sense that many people are not in church and they are sick, they're actually sick. I don't know who right now, but whoever is sick, wherever they are, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed. Be healed. Satan, take your hands off of God's children. Take your hands off of God's children. I rebuke you, infirmity. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing to everyone who is sick. I speak healing to everyone who is sick. You are healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. You are a good God. I worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Just give Jesus praise. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Give the Lord thanks. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Okay. So it's been true love in this month, 1 Corinthians 13. That's what we've been on. Amen? Okay. So today, the conversation will be centered around proof of personality. Amen. I don't know whether it's entering my ears. I can't hear myself. Praise God. Okay. John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. If you are sleeping, say amen. All right, let's read together, everybody. By this, all men. Is it what he says? Where are we? All will know. All we know. You are my disciple. So first of all, Jesus wants all to know that you are his disciples. Amen. Praise the Lord. Including your neighbor in the market. He wants all to know that you are his disciple. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Including that one that crazily drove rubbish on the road. Amen. You know, this life that we are on is not a life you take off sometimes and put on sometimes. You know, like some people say, let's keep Bible aside. Immediately you keep Bible aside, you too, you are also aside. Praise the Lord. So let's keep Bible aside. Let's do this thing man to man. Before you were a woman, when you had the Bible. So now, let's do it man to man. Praise God. Hey, those people don't understand who they are. So the Lord Jesus wants everybody to know that we are his disciples. And he said, how they will know is that we have love one for another. That's beautiful, isn't it? So you not say is by the time you finish preaching, they will know you're my disciples. I mean, by the time you speak in tongues for 12 hours, man, by then they should know you're my disciples. By the time you prophesy, and I mean you cause the lame to walk. We've already read in 1 Corinthians 13 that if you do all of this and you don't have love, you ain't nothing. Praise God. So are they bad? Not at all. I mean, you should do it. However, it all should flow out from the place of your identity, love. Amen? It should flow out from love. Love is the visible evidence of an invisible transformation. It's a visible evidence of an invisible transformation. You know, it's something that happens on your inside. Praise the Lord. So now who you are is a disciple. Disciple, follower of Christ. One chasing after Jesus. One doing as he does. He says, be imitators of God. Do as I do. So if God so loved, you too so love. So as they saw Jesus in the works he did and how he lived and they knew this guy is different. They should see you too and the way you walk in love and say, ah, this guy is different. You know, there are things you look away from and people will be like, you are crazy. Somebody so hurts you and everybody's there, you will be justified if you retaliated. And you just walked away. People will look at you crazy. But then, that's the proof of your discipleship. You know, when we pray and say, Lord, help me to love more. Help me to love people more. I hope you know you're not going to send one person that will come and tell you, I love you. I'll follow you everywhere. After that, your prayers, you're getting up. Somebody's waiting to just match you first. Somebody's waiting to tear your clothes one place. Somebody's waiting to abuse you. Somebody's waiting to disrespect you. Oh, somebody's waiting to cheat you, to take your money. And you're like, love of God must constrain you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So when you ask the Lord, Lord, I want to love more. I want to love like Jesus. I'm trying to say to you, you know what Jesus went through, and it was all for love. He was looking at the people who nailed him to the cross, and he could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So in the same way, you expected you that is praying. The Lord is bringing opportunities for you to do it. Say the same thing. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Even when it is obvious, physically speaking, that they know what they are doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Even when it feels like, you know what you are doing. It's what is doing you that you don't know. Praise God. Amen. So God wants us to want the world to be able to, you know, take us apart, or you know, tell us apart by our work, which is love. Amen. Please put that scripture on the screen. Thank you. I want us to look at it again. For by this,
all
will know. Not some people. And definitely not aside your husband or your wife. You know, there are people that can be very long-suffering. They can endure for other people. But you see in this house, aura for aura. Baz,
boz, boz.
Amen. You are patient with everybody else because you want them to see you. Oh, one year or children, so. Ah, this one year or children, so means that this woman no like wahala. She doesn't like trouble. But meanwhile, hell, you are the weapon fashioned against some people. Praise the Lord. You know, there are times people get married. One is extremely quiet. One is the loud one. You know, there's that assumption that the loud one is will be the oppressor. Because, I mean, you're the one that will be talking all the plenty talk. But sometimes it's not the case. My mom will say, talk, oh, let's know what is in your mind. Sometimes they are quiet. And you are begging God, help me, Lord. It's better they are talking. But in their quietness, they are spreading poison. Hallelujah. But the Lord has called us to walk in love. Whether you are quiet or you are loud, walk in love. Amen. Walk in love. Whatever place you are tilting. Amen. You know, when I married, after my husband and I got married, after some time, I said, in this house, you know, if I'm dying, people will say I'm killing myself. People don't get it. I'm the one that is everywhere now. One is gentle. He doesn't have problem. I'm the one with all the problem in the world. So I'll tell him, oh yes, it's true. Because it's true. Ah! You see, it's just that the Bible says, pray for them, your enemies. If not, I'll have just said, fallen, some assault. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I used to jokingly say that. I said, people would think that I'm not that me, I'm even the one that can cry. I'm a cry baby. I'm trying to defend myself, so. Praise God. Amen. But you see, anybody you see that likes to stay in a place where there's no peace, the person has a problem. Have mercy on the person. You know, because strife dries people's bones. It dries your bones. Sometimes when people are newly married, you see the man flourishing. The man is just, they say, wow. Why? There's peace in the house. You see the woman bubbling everywhere, shining. You know, even the skinny one is now, you know, adding weight in all the right places. Looking very flourishing, fat and looking very good. Why? There's the glory of God, the peace of God in the home. Hallelujah. So when you see people who consistently they are initiating strife, they are just difficult to deal with. My sister, my brother, just know this person is dealing with something. They don't even know. That's why Jesus said, forgive them. They didn't even know what they're doing. This feeling that I know what I'm doing. They didn't know. They don't know. So have mercy on such a one. Amen. There are people that like that. So it's your duty to start extending the love of God intentionally to them. It means that the Lord has sent you to them to show them what love is. Even though your body will tell you, but you must agree with Jesus because his body also told him. Jesus' body told him, but he didn't step out an inch out of love. He didn't step an inch out of love. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the proof that you are a disciple is that you walk in love. And I like to say, when the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all other things shall be added to you. I say, even when you are down, you are seeking first the kingdom of God, not anything that will lift you up. Praise God. So when he says that by this all will know that you are my disciples, it's not except when they have pressed your neck and you have endured, like Peter said, how many times? How many times, Lord? Why do you think he was asking how many times? Even at that point, the guy was offended. Do you understand? Like, how many times should we bear with this guy? There's already something in his heart. So he's now asking, so how many times now? So that by after that time, we'll change them for you. We'll run them streets. And Jesus said, it's not about how many times. You shouldn't keep count of wrongs. That's why he said 70 is that, I mean, how will you be counting that? You'll be writing it down. That means you won't do anything else. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are counting, you are not moving forward. You are in a place writing it down, trying to remember so that you can quote it clearly. You did this one. I mean, by 12:13 p.m. on the day, 13th of July, 2032. 20, what? What's behind them? 19. You did this. No, you can't move forward like that. You are not definitely walking in love. Praise the Lord. Say, I am patient. I am kind. You know, King James will say it this way, long-suffering. And love is long-suffering and kind. There are times people suffer long, but they're not kind while they're suffering long. Amen? They don't have a choice, so they have to stay there. But everybody around them knows that they're not happy there. Everybody will be, you know, getting the thorn from their body. But we are asked, the Lord teaches that we endure long and be kind. Love is the character of Christ expressed through us. We've done a lot of talk on love this month. And I just want to tie it together. I don't even have plenty of time, but I'm hoping the Lord will help me. So, everywhere you are, understand that you are supposed to be producing love. You know, when we read Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is what? It starts to list, it says love. And when we see that people understand it to mean the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But you see, it's actually saying the fruit of your recreated spirit. The Bible says in the book of, I believe John chapter 15, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. What does branches, is it the vine that produces fruit or the branches? The branches. So when you see fruit, it's on the branches. We are the branches. God, Jesus, is the vine. So we produce this fruit he listed in Galatians 5:22. Amen. Praise the Lord. What I'm saying in essence is, your recreator spirit, the day you gave your life to Christ, you received the nature of God. That nature is love. In your recreated spirit, you have love there. Even when you are saying to somebody, I hate you, if you truly keep quiet, you will find that there's love in your spirit. Except you are not born again. You have love in your heart. Jesus said, says, the love of God has been done what? Shared abroad in your heart. So if you are saying, I don't know how to love, I don't have love. Two people are lying. Either the Bible is wrong or you are lying. And we both know who is lying. Because let God be true. And every man a liar. Praise the Lord. So yes, you have the ability to be loving. You can actually love even in the midst of pain. The fruit your recreated spirit produces is love. So what your job is to let your spirit dominate your flesh. Amen? You let your spirit do what? Dominate your flesh. As long as you are paying attention to what you're feeling, your body is telling you how you are feeling at the moment, you will step out of love. Let your spirit dominate you. That way, even when you are hurt, that nature, that life in you will produce love. It will give out love. Amen. But you see, where I want to focus is, there is one thing the Lord said, or we're not allowed to love. There is one thing the Lord says not to love. 1 John 2 verse 15, please. 1 John 2:15. So while we are commanded to love people, we have a very clear instruction from the Lord that says, let's read together. Hey, 1, 2, ready, go. At all, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And when you talk about the love of the world, you find the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Amen. There's a reason why this is important. Because most times when people say, I love you, it's actually, I'm lusting after you. Amen. You know, sometimes, I mean, some boys even go and read the book of Songs of Solomon to give you church girls sweet nothings, sweet rhymes. And you're like, that's the best thing I've ever heard in my life. Hallelujah. And all that we are getting to is just beyond what is on the outside. Clothes down. Praise the Lord. That's the way the world loves. When they love, they just want to take. They want to have. They want to take. They want to have. But Jesus loved. How did he love? He gave everything. He gave. That should enter our minds. Jesus gave. The way of the world is taking. So when you love people and you are giving, they think you are crazy, they think you are foolish. And you see, the test of your discipleship or your test of your love work is that you're actually serving people who you know can't give you back. So you are serving people without expectations who can't even give you anything in return. You are loving people, giving them your all. You're not expecting anything in return. I mean, sometimes they can't even give you anything in return. Think about it. What can we give back to Jesus? Do you see that? What can you give back to Jesus? At the time he was taking that walk, he knew, this one, there's nothing you're going to give to me. Everything you can give to him, he gave us. Everything you can give to him, he gave you, including your life. Especially your life. We're not allowed to love this world. I hope you know we are passing through. I hope you know one day we will drop these tents. Brother John was teaching us last week how our spirit is striving with this body. See, when will this come to an end? So we can be free to live fully. We are passing through. So I'm saying, it enables you to walk like Jesus did, love like Jesus did, because everything anybody can ever do to you in this world ends here. There is nothing anybody does to you that they will do to you forever. So, but what never fails is your love walk, is love. Not people's hearts, not their bad words, not what they said to you want to remember forever. No, it's only love, the Bible says, will never fail. We cannot love God and cling to a system that resists God. The system of this world is against God. In everything. So you cannot be saying, I love you, Lord, and you are clinging to the system of this world. Now, if you want to get married, you must be willing to get pregnant.
Get sharp now. Get sharp, sharp. Get sense. They'll remind you of your age. You don't get time. Are you okay? Now you give me life. Don't give me, but I don't have time. Am I dying tomorrow? Do you understand what I'm saying? So suddenly there are now things that are now norm. So you just tell your mom, I'm pregnant. Okay, is he marrying you? So if he's marrying you, then it's okay. If he's not marrying you, let's go for war. Let's go. Let me tell you that you're sleeping with a man is not what makes you a wife. Amen. That's not what makes you a wife. So don't think it's when you have given him everything. Then. So what is now left? Why should he marry you? If it is you, will you marry yourself? Praise the Lord. You are, people go to church. What differentiates you from the system of this world? The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we can sing, Jesus, I love you till the end of the world. If you don't keep his commandments, he said, you don't love me. You don't love me. I know those that are mine. They are the ones who keep my commandments, who keep my instructions. Ask yourself, why would you do that? It's not just to gratify the flesh. Sometimes you don't even want to. It's not the act you want to do. It's just to get to somewhere. You know, something made me, it still makes me, I was talking to someone recently, and the person was said something that, anyway, point is, I was saying there are good Christian guys. You don't have to get on this track. There are Christian guys who will marry you and love you. And she said, where are they? Where are they? No, I'm not in doubt that they are. Two things. One is that many of the people in church are not in Christ. So they're in church, serving in every unit, and the sister is like, wow, that's it. And suddenly you begin to talk to, oh wow, the Lord is working. Wow, thank you, Jesus. My prayer is finally getting answered. And you're like, that brother is fine and fire. You're happy. Fine and fire. I mean, who don't like that? One month later, come and sleep over in my house. Would you be, brother, what's going on? Come and sleep over in my house. Let's see. I want to do what they call it? Sexual compatibility. English. So who told you you'll be compatibility forever? You don't know that there's 5 years later that everything will just scatter. You'll be begging the team. Please help. What are you compatibility? I don't understand. See, I'm saying these things because it's now the norm in our world today. I'm saying that's not our culture. That's not who we are. You should pride over who you are. Do you know who you carry? If you don't prove to the world that you are his disciples, who will prove it? How will you meddle in darkness when you should be light? Be bold to tell people. See, going to sleep over a man's house, you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. Why am I feeling like I'm getting agitation? Is it too harsh? It's too harsh. Why we cannot love the world? Let me be saying this once more. I'm too harsh. Praise the Lord. There is a separation that has to happen. It has to happen. be, Bible says, come out from them and be thou separate. You don't see everybody and be professing love to them. You want to marry them. No. No. That's not how we behave in this kingdom. How does that show that you are his disciple? Every sister in church. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 5, 1 to 4. Put it up in message translation for me. Let me try and tie up my message, please. Ephesians 5. Message translations. Be imitators of God. You see that? So love like God does. How does God love? How does God love? He gave. He gave. Verse 1, please. Let's start. Message translation. Media, please. Message. MSG. Message translation. You know, you don't have to say words to people that they will think for the rest of their lives. You don't have to kill that reed. You don't have to kill that person. You don't have to say words that are hurtful. You don't have to. They may have said one to you, but you don't have to return it. You don't have to say it back. Why? You are his disciple. Are you getting it? You are his disciple. Watch what God does and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. I'll just try and stay with the Bible. Oh yeah, let's go. Mostly what God does is love you. Are you seeing that? What God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. And he says what? Love like that. Good. Don't allow love to turn into lust. Have you seen that? Setting off a downhill slide. You know, I'd like to see this. If we're part of a body, we are brothers and sisters. Amen? There's something as spiritual incest. Don't allow love. Okay? But did you get what I said before? Good. Setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity. It's a downhill slide. It starts from ordinary kiss. Or small visit. It does what? Begins to slide. Into where? What you did not plan for before. Filthy practices or bullying greed. Go ahead. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip. Ha! Christians have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. Since that kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. Are you seeing that? Thanksgiving is our dialect. Send me your nude picture. It's not our dialect. Amen? Just send me, just small parts. It's not our dialect. That person is a demon. I'm not sending. Are you mad? Block the person. Ah! No. You know what? I just remembered something. People don't know how serious this is. The sister, I think it was last year or so, was sharing about a pastor. You know, somebody who is the leader of the church. Will call on the phone and be saying, touch there. Do that. There. I said, what did you do? He said, I was just listening to where it was going. I said, are you okay? Where what was going? Me, I'm even angry on your behalf. You don't know how to, that's where you're, I permit you to curse the person. It won't work again, forever and ever. Whatever that won't work. I'm saying, because we've toned down on these things, people are in church, they don't even know how bad it is. See, this our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. is the temple of God. Keep it holy. The proof of your love is that you're able to restrain. Bible says love constrains. If you know grieve, but Apostle Paul said what? Marry her. It's not what he said. Simple. Ah, my body every day. Marry. We wed you. We don't charge money. Quickly. Just go and tell her father first. Fast, fast. We'll marry you. Leave reception. We don't care. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not even playing, you. I'm serious. Sunday wedding. Not Sunday wedding. They're giving guys ideas. You look like the darling. I agree. Me, I've agreed. Go ahead. You can be sure that using people or religion or things just for what you can get out of them, the usual variations on idolatry will get you nowhere. And certainly nowhere near the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. Go ahead, please. I think we have even passed. Get to verse 22 to 33. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. Are we together? The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church. Even if she has PhD. Amen. PhD in leadership. Are you with me? You're not with me again. Wives, you are hearing me, but? Okay. It says the husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church. Not by domineering, but by cherishing. So it's not like, no, I kept it here. You must sit on it like that, whether you like it or not. Go ahead, please. So just as the church submits to Christ, as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Amen? Go ahead, please. Then it went on to say, husbands. Amen? No, wait first. You know, quickly, we like to jump that submission part and get to the part that is interesting. Amen? But you see, if you can't submit to your husband, I wonder why you think you can submit to God. Praise the Lord. If we struggle to submit to our husbands, how do we think we can struggle to submit to God? Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, once we start saying this, people start saying, but the man has to. See, you are missing the point. You are missing the point. When we get to Jesus, he will not be asking you, so how was the man? Okay, it's because the man was like this. That's why you did. Okay, you are mad. It's a lie. What he said you should do, just be doing it. Are you hearing me? Let the man be a demon. You married him. That's why me, I don't tell you. I have 5 people that want to marry me. Choose one. I'm not choosing for you. Pray about it. Are you hearing me? But when the man said, is that one? And then you now go and relax. God said, is this one? Let me tell you. If you don't build it, collapse. Even if God told you with your 2 ears, this is your husband, you go there and submit to him as the church submits to God. Else, he will crash. So when the people of the world are telling, like I said, we don't love the world like the world. That's what I'm just trying to bring out from all of this. The world are feeding us things. And somehow we are being, you know, the way we're just being quiet, is getting into us. Yes, yeah, small there, small here, small compromise here, small compromise there. Next, you know, say, after all, we're all well read. I mean, I'm a lawyer. I can lead myself. Stay single, baby. No fight. Are you hearing me? If you're not a believer, I'm not talking to you. No vex. Amen. If you're not a Christian listening to me, no, it's not you I'm talking to. It's not you. You can lead yourself. No, it's not you. But if you're a believer, you said you believe in Jesus. I'm talking to you. Submit.
Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives. He said, go all out. Exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Next verse. He said, by doing what? By giving, not getting. Amen? So getting is, come, let's test first before. You know, somebody told me that. I said, are you all right? I said, let me tell my father. Someone that is married is telling me he wants to marry me. I said, no, let me tell my daddy. He now started telling me, you know, when you buy TV, before you buy the TV, you test it. I said, it's your head they will test. You test what? Before you buy the TV. They are telling some of you young girls, and you're just there. Don't try that rubbish. You are a child of the king. You are a child of the king. You are a king. Are you hearing me? Someone is telling you what is not aligning. You are still there trying to hear where it's getting to. What are you doing with where it's getting to? Already, me, I'm offended. I don't like rubbish. Don't say it. I don't want to hear it. You want to tell, am I TV? I said, am I television? Go and buy TV. I'm not TV. Don't let anybody tell you that rubbish. Don't let anybody. You have the life of God. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. Go ahead. Dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. Go on. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. He says they are really doing themselves a favor. So loving your wife is doing yourself a favor. He says, since they are already one in marriage, the Lord expects you to build up your wife. She's not doing this one well. Teach her. You should be able to present her to yourself without spots. So that 5 years down the line, wow, the wife I married, the one I have now is better. 10 years down, my God, when I married you, you are sharp around all the edges. But now, that's my dream girl. That's why he said, it's your favor. You are building her to your favor. So no, you can't afford, your wife wants to fly. He said, no, you must stay here. It's to your favor. She's your wife. As Christ is building all of us, his church, build your wife. And you don't be a person that is difficult to lead. You always have your opinion. Love does not insist on its own rights. Submission is that you can freely give up your rights. However, love here is telling us is that every decision will be in her best interest. Every decision will be in her best interest. Can your husband say, close your eyes, follow me, and you gladly close your eyes, or you open your eyes? Why will you marry such a person that you don't trust? If he says close your eyes, you're opening one. Because please, next verse. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, go on, since we are part of his body. First, and this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. KJV will say, cling to your wife. Cling. Like somebody has been clinging for 11 years. Keep clinging, baby. Cling. Praise God. You know there's no marriage in heaven. Marry well here. There is no marriage in heaven. All those ideas in your head. Practice it. Be doing all those. There's no marriage in heaven. Marry very well. Go back and start marrying your husband. This one lifetime. Let's just marry well. Forgive in advance. Forgive. This one married that way. Marry and well. When Jesus see your husband, they really married you. Amen. Marry well. Love yourself. Submit to one another. What did they use? One lead they go. Sometimes I don't even want, no, just anything you decide, let's be doing. Shebi na you, God, go ask, where should I be bothering myself? She gets. Don't let yourself get there. Where, no, they said, yeah, what's that? No.
Oh my God. It is well. Forgive me. I wanted to read one scripture before. Honestly. I don't know who carried me through this place while Google.
1 Peter 3. I'll just put up 1 John 3:14. Let me close there. Because 1 John 3:14. You know, the other two Sundays ago when I was talking about love protects, the Bible says that that love was so strong that the way we should love, a husband should love his wife, such that he gave his life. The way Christ gave his life for the church. You know, I was saying that the people are looking at me funny. He says you give your life. You should willingly lay your life down for your wife. You know, that's why Peter will say, if that's how it is, it's better we not maybe not marry you. Do you understand? If you really you live, that in your body is telling you, calm down. If you understood marriage, it will not be, oh, he's doing me. He's doing you. Will not, that's what you'll be checking. I said to you, 5 years down the line, the marriage, that all those mess, my God, go down, disappear. Your eye go open like this. So listen to God. Learn from God. That we may know. That the way we know we've been transferred from death to life is that we love our brothers and sisters. Anyone who doesn't love is as good as dead. Anyone who doesn't love is as good as dead. There's nothing like, you cannot be a Christian and be a narcissist. Two of them don't work together. He says, anybody who doesn't love is as good as dead. Jesus said, my time is up. Let's stand. But Jesus said, say, you saw me in prison. I was hungry. You didn't give me food. I was thirsty. You didn't give me water. I was in prison. I was sick. You never visited me. And some people said, when? Jesus, if we saw you, I mean, we sure to do something. We never saw you. But then he said, to the least of my brethren, to that you do unto me. What you do to the least of my brethren, that you do unto me. I wanted to pray. That prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, where Apostle Paul was praying for the church, that they will increase in love. That they will come to know that love that surpasses knowledge. They will understand the length, the depth, the breadth, the height of God's love for them. Pray that for yourself. Say, Lord, help me to love like you. Lord, help me to not blend and love like the people of the world. The temptation is there. The temptation is there. I was talking to a young man and, you know, he didn't even know when he said somebody is waiting for him at home. By almost 10 p.m. I said, call and tell her to go to her house. What did she do in your house? No. That's not the way of believers. That's not our way. That's not our way. That's not our culture. So pray, say, Lord, help me to love like you. Fill my heart with love. Continue. Go down, please. Keep going, media 15. Go ahead. Go down. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, go on, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, long, and high, and deep is the love of Christ. 20. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Yeah, just stay here. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Make that prayer. Say, Lord, help me to love like you. I will not be deceived by the people of the world. My life is for you, Lord. Lord, I pray over my brethren, over everyone in the Cornerstone Church. Pour upon us the spirit of love. Lord, that we must understand this love that surpasses knowledge. Help us understand. Paul said that you may understand. Say, but even though it's difficult to comprehend, Lord, help us understand. Help us be true disciples that we can be a blessing to everyone we meet. They can say, this person is different. We will not listen to our bodies, our flesh, our minds. We will always yield to the spirit of love. We will always yield to the spirit of Christ in us. In the name of Jesus, that indeed by this, by our walk of love, our love walk, all will know that we are your disciples. In the name of Jesus Christ.
This message was brought to you free of charge by the partners of the Cornerstone Church Enugu. For more resources and downloads, please visit our website at thecornerstoneministries.org. Our faith is based on the Word of God. It transforms us and it bears fruits for us.